You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is It's in Your Seed by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Remain standing as I read from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 10. And I want you all to join me at verse 10. Let's try that since first service didn't cooperate with the other verses. I don't want to get fussed at y'all too. So let's all read together on verse 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, starting verse 6. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Read with me. "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness." You may be seated. I want to speak today from the subject, it's in your seed. It's in your seed. Say it with me. Say, everything I need is in my seed. I know that's a rhyme. A rhyme should help you to remember it. But that's a powerful statement. It's not just something just to try to put a beat to it and get a rap out of it. That is a principle that you need to learn to live by. Because when you talk to God about need, God will start talking to you about seed. When you talk to God about need, God will start talking to you about seed. Because everything that you need is in a seed. Now, just because you have needs don't mean that your needs will automatically be supplied. Come on now. Does God not love everyone? God loves everybody, and he doesn't love anybody less than the other person. Just because you come to church and you tithe, he doesn't love anyone less. That God is love. And oh, this is so good. And God cannot love in fractions. He is love. When you get God, you get all of God. Hallelujah. So God doesn't love us in degrees. He doesn't love God in fractions. He doesn't love us in fractions. He doesn't love us in percentages. God is love. And yet everyone that God loves, needs are not supplied. Because needs being supplied operates by principle. Okay? If everybody's needs were supplied, there'd be no such thing as GoFundMe. Amen. Now, we know there's some people who try to work. But many of those, they are legitimate needs. Amen. But the scripture says here that I'm going to show you how to get your needs met. This is what Paul says. Now, the context of 2 Corinthians 9 chapter, and for those of you who got a problem with preaching and hearing about money, and the reason why I'm teaching, because we're giving a special financial seed today and next week, and I don't just want you just to give just because the church has needs to build a building. The Bible says that's the lowest form of giving. He said when you give, don't give grudgingly. That means get your attitude together. Look at your neighbor and say, get your attitude together. You know, you usually can tell the attitude by your face. So sometimes you just tell folks, get your face together, okay? Because attitude is reflected in our faces, amen? Get your face together, get your attitude together regarding giving. He said, don't do it grudgingly, and don't do it merely out of necessity. That means simply because there's a need, amen? Because if you're going to give just because of need, go to GoFundMe and fund everybody as a need. Okay, he said, don't do it just because there's need. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. That means somebody who's prompt to do it, whose heart is given. And then he says, as a result of that, verse 8 says, and God, if you get your attitude right, and God now is able, we release God. The ability is not talking about his general ability. The ability here is talking about his ability towards us. Okay? The example I've used for this is that some of you heard me talk about, for each of my children, with the exception of one, My third child, I knew without a doubt he demonstrated his athletic aptness and ability real early. We knew without a shout he was going to get a scholarship, okay? So I didn't have a prepaid tuition plan for him. All the rest of my kids I did, okay? It was guaranteed. We knew he was getting a scholarship, okay? The others, they were working on it and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I had a prepaid tuition plan for my children. There was one time when Pastor Chandler, he's giving his own testimony. There was one time when he was in high school, it didn't look like, even though I had a prepaid tuition plan, that he could go to any state school in South Carolina and his tuition automatically would be covered because I had already prepared it. It didn't look like he was going to be able to take advantage of it. Because if he didn't graduate, he wouldn't be able to take advantage of it. You're catching this. Just because I prepared it and had it didn't automatically mean he was going to benefit from it. Your needs are not supplied based upon God not having. He's already laid it up for you. Will you put yourself in a position so he can do it for you? That's the issue. We know God is able to do anything. God can supply all our need, but Scripture says, based upon how we give, now God is able. Now we release him, just like once you graduate from high school and you get accepted into college. Now I'm able to take, he's able to take advantage of what I laid up for him. Can y'all understand that? So now when we, through our giving, we release God's hand to cause all grace, all grace. Can you put 2 Corinthians 9 chapter and verse 8 up for me in the Amplified version? So you can see what this word grace means. And now God is able to make all grace, every earthly blessing, every favor, okay? All grace, every favor, every earthly, no, it says earthly blessing. He said, God will arrange things in earth to get your needs met. Amen. Can I tell you, God is not making Benjamins in heaven and drop them in the earth, because you're going to go to jail. If you spend money made in heaven, you're going to jail. Why? That's counterfeit money. I'm very serious about that. Okay, this says here, this note is for legal tender, okay, and usually there's somewhere on it where it tells you, it says U.S. Treasury, not, everybody say U.S., not Heavenly Treasury. It's U.S. Treasury, okay, here we go. On the dollar, okay, some of y'all never noticed it. On the dollars, many times they'll show where it was made, Washington, D.C., all right? If God gave you money that was made in heaven, that's counterfeit money. The money got to come in the earth. Put the scripture back up. So God is able to make every earthly blessing. Come on. He arranges it in heaven. Come on. But stuff starts coming together for you in earth. Have God arranged anything for anybody on earth? You knew God put that thing together. Okay, y'all being here in this church, okay? Y'all being here in this church, God arranged this, okay? That young lady over there, Sister Clary, she knew me when I was a kid in the project. Y'all didn't. Didn't know none of y'all. Are you hearing me? Didn't know none of you. God had to arrange this thing. There's people here, we are doing life together. I mean, I got people here who my sons and daughters, I mean, and they're close to my family like my natural family, like my natural children. And I got to remember, that's why I'll be looking at y'all anyway. I realize y'all won't be looking at me like that, because people leave and tell me they love me and I never hear from them again. God forbid my children did that. Amen. But God had to arrange these things together. So God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He said, every earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Here we go. So you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid. Okay? Don't get mad at me. It is not the will of God for his people to be on welfare. Hold the scripture up so they won't get mad. It is not the will of God for you to be on EBT. It's not the will of God for you to have to ask anybody for anything. Now, you may be there now. What you got to understand is that this ain't the will of God for my life. Come on now. See, all I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation. I'm telling you, don't settle there. This may be where you are right now, but it's not where you're going to be. Somebody walked past us the other day, a pastor, and Pastor Marston and I looked at it and said, they said, why he say that? Another bishop. He walked past us. I said, man, you sharp. He said, I'm just doing the best I can for a bishop on welfare. And we looked at each other and said, why would you even say that? That ain't funny. See, and no, I'm telling you another reason why people stay broke. Because you think being broke is funny. You think not having needs met is funny. I'm so broke I can't pay attention. My credit's so bad, nobody won't loan me a piece of bubble gum. Ain't nothing funny about that. I said nothing funny about that. Because you keep laughing, cars get repossessed. Ain't nothing funny about that. You keep laughing, you get evicted from apartments. Ain't nothing funny about that. You keep laughing about being poor and being broke, you get your house foreclosed on. Ain't nothing funny about that. You keep laughing about being poor and broke, and something happens, you have a medical emergency, and now all your credit is jacked up because you couldn't pay one medical bill. Look at somebody say, poverty ain't funny. So stop laughing at it. It's something you need to take seriously. God wants to bless you that you have no needs. And so let me give some testimony so you know where I started. When we started this church, and I really wasn't aware of it, Pastor Marston would take care of this thing. And when we started church, we had a billboard right down the street over Sonic. And sometime on Sunday nights, whatever, we would take the kids there. And we were sitting there one night on a summer night, eating the Sonic, And I looked up over our head, and our billboard was there. It said something like a mile ahead or 3 miles ahead. I hadn't measured whatever the billboard, right direction, Christian Center, what we were known at the time. And our children were on reduced lunch at school, okay, because we qualified financially, okay. And Pastor Marcy used to fill out papers for that and all. And so I looked up there, and the Lord said to me, he said, you think when the people ride by here and look at y'all on that billboard, they think your kids on reduced lunch at school? That's what the Lord said to me. Now, what I know that people don't know is I was broke and the church had money. That's where we were at that time. Now let me help you business people. You better learn to work, operate like that. I'm talking to you business people. You got to learn to let your business have money when you don't have money. Because you take care of your business, you'll be able to take care of you. But if you be trying to take care of yourself at the expense of your business won't grow. Come on. That was a little extra. That was for the entrepreneurs here. And so many people wonder why because you're trying to live off of everything your business brings in. You can't do that right now. You got to be able to reinvest in that business and let that business get to the place where it can finally take care of you. And then be able to take care of other people. And so the Lord told me, trust me. I told Pastor Marcia, I said, we get off of, she said, well, we qualify. I said, I also knew we qualify for the blessing of the Lord. So we got off of reduced lunch. And back in that, that's the only, far as I know, that's the only assistance I ever known we got. I'm looking at you, Pastor Marcia. Because she knew where I was back then. She's like, well, you use your favor. I'm going to take care of these kids. Okay? In the meantime, until your faith manifests. I told y'all when I got laid off and I went to unemployment, they're going to give me $200 a week or something like that. I was making $65,000 a year. Now they're going $150, $200 a week. And so I went there. She said, well, were you going to get the unemployment? I said, I told them, forget this unemployment. I said, I can believe God for that. She said, well, start believing then. Start believing. And so I had to take God at his word. We qualified for WIC, women, infant, and children. First of all, that offended me. Women, infant, and children. Okay, so they going to eat in the house and the daddy don't get nothing because he ain't a woman, an infant, or a child? I live up in this piece too. I pay the rent. Women, infant, and children. WIC. And we qualified for all of that. We qualified for welfare. And the Lord, and I refused to get on it because I knew I had to take God at his word. Can I tell you? Oh, my goodness. It's in those trenches that you work your faith. You will never be able to operate at a higher level if you don't believe, if you can't believe God at the lower level. And so I had to say, come on now. I ain't even talking about driving a Jaguar. I'm not talking about living in a big house. I'm just talking about basic things like food and clothing, the basic necessities of life. And if I can't believe God for that, there's no way I could ever build a multi-million-dollar ministry. There's no way I could be thinking about building a church that's going to cost us $15 million. Come on, if I don't believe God going to provide my food. Because faith is ever-increasing. So you believe God for the little things, and then you stretch your faith more. Come on, come on. Because if you just try to show up at the gym, you ain't never worked out. You know, we got this thing, this new technology. I ain't going to tell you what it's called, but there's new technology. I don't care. There's new something called a mirror, okay? And the mirror is a... You can get live works out, and it's like a full length mirror, and they work out right there with you, and you work out with them, okay? And you can either put it on demand or live ones, and they can even see you and give them a name. They'll tell you like, come on Herb, come on, get in there, and you know, and all. And so I bought it, and the reason why I'm really excited about it, I bought it for Pastor Marcy. I said, but I'm really going to do this now. This is my year to double. Amen. I ain't going to say what is double. But anyway, this year to double, I'm working out. And I really hadn't worked out in a while. And so I went and I put one in, and I'm like, hey, I started intermediate. I was supposed to be doing a 25-minute workout. I made it about 10 minutes. I said, this is the devil. Okay? Then I felt I had these, and then you know he had you working. You know, we got all the stuff. We got a whole nothing but a gym in our room downstairs. I can show off my gym. See all that? I got a rower, I got a bike, I got a treadmill, I got the mirror, I got the Peloton. We got it all. Okay, and then I found out about 15 minutes. I'm using the wrong size weights. We'll be using like 5, 10 pounds. I'm using the 20, 25 pounds. And by the time I got finished, I said, this is the devil. Get rid of this mirror. How many of you know I started too high? That's how your faith is. It's not that faith don't work. You're starting too high. Come on, you got to believe God for 100 before you can believe him for 1,000. Come on, you got to believe him for 50 before you can believe him for 500. You got to start with the tithe before you can jump up to some big level. And so God has promised he will supply every need because everything you need is in your seed. He says so. Now, so let me read those scriptures to you, what we read from the text, from the New Living Translation. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9, chapter verse 6. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Duh. Okay? A farmer, that's verse 6, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Look, somebody say, that's revelation. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now he says, remember, because he said, now, y'all already know this. You already know that a farmer who plants a small crop is going to get a small harvest. A farmer who plants a big crop, he said, come on, we all understand that. He said, that's how this thing worked with financial seed. Verse 7, so each decide in your heart how much you want to give. No, he said, now decide how much you want to give based upon how much you want to receive. That's what he's really saying. He says, and don't give reluctantly or response to pressure. Or response to pressure. God said, don't give out of pressure. Okay, he said, that's not how you do it. For God loves a person who gives what? Cheerfully, not fearfully, and not because of pressure. He said, verse 8, and then he goes on to say, and God will generously, if you do this, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Say it with me. Say, I will always have everything I need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, when I first saw the scripture and heard it, my needs had needs. But I believe God's word. I believe that my life, I taught you all this principle over here, your life will rise or fall to the level of your confession. it will either rise up or fall down to what you say or what you don't say. So I started confessing, I always have. Come on, say it with me. Say, I always have. Every time when we receive this offering, there's a confession we make. Some of it's just a cliche, but you got to let that thing resonate in your heart, resonate in your spirit, resonate in your soul, resonate in your mind, resonate in your ear, that my needs are met. I'm out of debt. I have plenty more to put in store. What? You are confessing, and your life is going to rise up to that. Now imagine you start confessing just the opposite. I never have. Never have nothing to give anybody. How about the people? Y'all ever hear the people say, I never win nothing? Y'all ever hear people say that? I never win anything. Why do you think they don't ever win anything? Because they keep saying, I never win anything. Okay? And so God says he will provide everything we need if we get the giving right. The giving will take care of the receiving. If you give, it shall be given unto you. You got to start this thing. You have to start it, because everything you need is in your seed. Go to Matthew 13, verse 10, 11. In Matthew 13, 10, 11, Jesus was always talking in parables, mystery. The kingdom of God is like a man who was sowed seed. The kingdom of God is like 10 virgins who went to prepare the oil. The kingdom of God is as, and the people, they didn't understand what he was talking about. And so one of the disciples, I think John says it was Peter, but Matthew says one of the disciples, came to him and said, Lord, why speak thou unto them in parables? Why are you talking all these mysterious analogies and metaphors? And look what the answer Jesus gives in verse 11. He answered, said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Jesus said, I'm telling them because I don't really want them to understand. He said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus said, I'm going to give you secrets of how things work and how to get your needs met and how to get the supernatural operating in your life that the world don't know and the world don't understand. That's why the world says all the church wants is your money, and they don't tell you all four want is your money. All the church want is your money, okay? Can I tell you all Oprah wants your money? Oprah! She sure does. That's, she wants their money so much. She put people on and FaceTimed them. On WW. What used to be Weight Watchers is now WW. Make you feel better to tell folks I'm on WW. What you taking? I'm on WW. Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay? Oprah is like the primary investor now in Weight Watchers. Okay, and all the people get on Weight Watchers, Oprah make money. Oh, come on, why are y'all acting like you? Y'all do understand that's how it works, right? Y'all really think Oprah care about how much you weigh? No, see, cause, no, y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Oprah care how much she weighs. She don't care how much you weigh. And they show people, is this for real? She FaceTime people to talk to them about Weight Watchers. Why? Because she wants their money. But people don't say, oh, Oprah wants your money. But say, all preachers want your money. All the church wants your money. Just want y'all to know, I don't get a bonus for today's offering. My salary don't go up and down based upon the offerings. My staff salary don't go up and down based upon the offering. I have to tell people that because people think all kind of crazy stuff. Really. You know, anybody want me to have anything directly, they can do that. But that's not how this works. Okay? But Jesus says, given unto you to know the mysteries. He said, so this sowing and reaping, this sowing financial seed to reap financial harvest is one of the mysteries of the kingdom. They don't understand it. And God wants you to be blessed in a way that the world don't understand. Okay? I'm a prophet, start prophesying something over you. You can be in the same cubicle with somebody and they make the same money you make. And they may have been in that company longer than you. And you can live a higher lifestyle. You can live a first class life at a first class price. And they don't understand it. And they'll be saying stuff like, we work at the same job. I'm a level 4 and they level 2. How they get that car? How they move in that neighborhood? Because God will cause supernatural things to happen in your life.
Everything you need for life is in the seed that you have sown. Your provision is locked in the seed that you allow to leave your hand. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to allow God to release your harvest when you release your seed. Order this single message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for It's in Your Seed.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.